I'm so glad I finally got to see James Imes's Pulitzer Prize winning play, Fat Ham, because it's playing to all the things that I love. Contemporary comedies that fully reference and embrace their Shakespearean precedent. And but now having seen it, I wanted to know, because it could be a fairly straightforward coming of age play set at a memorial service, wedding party, a typical family event that you see a lot of times in theater. Do you think that the Shakespearean angle makes this play more accessible to an audience, or does it change the play somehow for you?
You know, I think the Shakespeare part of what's so brilliant about James's writing is that I think he uses that structure, right, early on when it comes to given circumstances, so that the audience can walk in feeling a little bit like, okay, I know what's going to happen.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 946, Devouring Fat Ham. Tyrone Phillips is the founding artistic director of Chicago's Definition Theater and is directing Definition's co-production of James Imes' Pulitzer Prize-winning play, Fat Ham, which opens tomorrow at the Goodman Theater in Chicago and runs through February 23, 2025. Fat Ham tells the very Shakespearean story of a young man mourning the death of his father at a barbecue celebrating the wedding of his mother to his uncle. And on this final weekend of previews, Tyrone spoke with me about the Shakespearean roots of Imes' play.
I think what he's done is brilliant, as you say, but then taking it in the contemporary lens, then he had to address the setting, right? He had to address, you know, where are we? So having it in the pig farm in North Carolina, that also changes the play a little bit. The circumstances of the father coming back, I think, is brilliant, that we still see the ghost of the father.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There are many things that he uses to anchor it. But truly, I think that it is very smart. So, yes, I think it's a calling card. So it gets our theater lovers into space. But as you know, when you see it, you'll see it takes another turn for itself and it becomes a play that can stand alone on its own.
And it's funny, there are revelations that happen in the play, which if you know Hamlet and think mm-hmm. about it for 5 seconds, you go, oh, I should have seen that coming. So
yes, yes.
It's both a surprise, but enormously satisfying because what a jazz musician say, he's playing the changes on
That's
Shakespeare
right.
so convincingly and well.
I love that you say that because I look at all of the plays I direct as music. You know, the text has a rhythm, and so does Shakespeare, and right? And so being in line with the rhythm of the piece, it's a different request, but the same work we do for Shakespeare. And that's what gives me great joy as an artist in general. Whenever we hold our contemporary stories of today about how we're living now and what it means to be human now, but then also give it the freedom again to ask big questions. It's the thing that I love and give it the same care that we give Shakespeare, all the research, all the resources, right? Why
yeah.
are we doing that for stories of today? And so this is kind of, you know, a thesis, if you will, or you know, the pride and joy to say we can do it. And this is what happens when you do it really, really well.
Well, and I saw your production of Twelfth Night at Chicago Shakes.
Oh, wow.
A year ago, so ago, time has no meaning, whenever it was. but what you say about embracing the tones and embracing the music of these plays, whether they're 400 years old or just a couple of years old, I've also directed Twelfth Night and love that play. And you embraced the pain that is inherent in that play that
yes.
also, I think, makes the comedy and the joy richer because people are overcoming their loss and their grief and their pain.
I agree, you know, and even with Hamlet, right? We prefer Juicy and our Fat Ham. We find him actually at a very low point in his life when the play begins,
yeah.
you know, dealing with grief and death. And I, you know, something that keeps me going. Even in life, right, things get hard. But something I learned, and you might hear this, you know, we laugh and cry. Our body literally goes through the same emotions, physical response. We laugh and cry on the same vibrations. And so I hold that with me whenever I direct a comedy. I love the tragedy too. I love it all, right? But life has both. It deals you both hands. So how you deal with it is really tells me more about who you are as a character. And here is Juicy, you know, being committed to or at least challenged or asked to revenge his father's death, and he doesn't have a violent bone in his body, right? So what do you do? How do you stay true to yourself, but also honor your legacy is something I was really interested in.
That's so true. It's not just coming of age. It is confronting and embracing the potential for violence, the reality of violence, and the potential for your own capacity to respond to that violence. Right. It's the more I think about it, the more perfectly the playwright grounds his play in Shakespeare. It's great.
Yes. Yes. And James, again, is a gift. He's an ensemble member at Definition Theater. Mm-hmm. And how that came to be was that we produced his first play in Chicago ever in 2017. So his first it was called Moon Man Walk, and then we produced another play of his called White. And so it was natural that I, you know, also realizing I've never directed the plays that we produced at Definition Theater, so this is my first time actually getting to hold on to his words and direct it myself. So that's also been very special.
I know you've worked with many other playwrights, but sticking to Shakespeare, you've worked with a 400-year-old dead playwright, and then you have a living playwright in the room. What are those differences for you?
Well, the fact that I could call James and say, you know, what is this moment, or is this line right? You know, and there's actually a couple of translations of the script as it went to Broadway and changed a little bit too. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to be able to pick up the phone and, you know, truly talk to him and say, hey, what's this about? And he was just so gracious with his time. And then to say, working with Shakespeare, I feel like the play is always the thing. So if James wasn't here, I would go back to the text. I'm really rooted to the text. And I always say to my designers who are creating the world with me, you know, I want to actually be true to the text. If it's there, I want to do it, unless we find something different or, you know, in the room. But for the first part, I think the text is our Bible, right? And so I'm just so fortunate that the script itself was in such good shape and really, you know, audience tried out and everything, right? That it came with a powerhouse Chicago cast. It is soaring.
Yeah, and talking of your designers, there are many surprises on the set, which is in the smaller of the Goodman's two spaces, but there are so many lovely surprises to what the set can do, which is great from an audience standpoint, yes. But it also foreshadows what the play is able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking to the text of the tonal shifts and the stylistic shifts and how the Fat Ham, yes, the play becomes quite consciously not the tragedy it's based on.
Amen. And that is, I think, a beautiful thing. That's something as a director I always work on. How many surprises, right, can we give our audience? How many turns? And I'm so grateful the script also enhances this, right? But how do we keep our audience on their feet? How do they not know, oh, I know where this is going, right? And I think this play, I think we've done it for sure. I thank you for saying that. The smaller space, I think the magic of theater is that if you truly take time to think about the audience, right? And our last collaborator, we always say, you know, for me, surprising them, surprising, keeping the life surprises. And this play is going to do it over and over in many different ways, even when you think it's over. And so I appreciate that part of coming to the theater, coming into that very room. And I hope you leave, right, differently than when you walked in.
I also love in the text of the play, Juicy wants to clarify the instructions he's been giving. Wait, you want me to kill my uncle literally or metaphorically, which I love from a Chicago comedy standpoint. That's calling the name of the scene. Wait, what are we talking about here?
Yes, yes. And I think it's so brilliant in that it tells us, you know, Juicy's character, you learn a lot immediately there. You're like, oh, okay, this is not our regular Hamlet who's just going to take the charge. We see him challenge, and we see him slowly tell the people in his life.
And he says, even though he says, wait, you want me to kill him literally or metaphorically, there is part of this coming of age narrative that's happening, there is a sense where the parents are killed metaphorically, in the sense that the parents are looking at their children going, stop it, you're killing me.
Yes, yes, it is so true. And again, about our legacies and what I think something also this play pulls on beautifully is expectations.
Yeah.
Right? What are we expected to do? Who are we expected to be by our family, by our loved ones, from those who know us better? And how can you break those expectations? And, you know, along the lines of coming of age, something I think is beautiful about this play, it's not that it's coming of age as an adolescent only. You can come of age at any age. It's something that's been beautifully, wonderfully discovered through this process.
Hi, I'm Jeffrey Warren Barnes II, and I'll be playing Yorick and Ophelia's mother in the comedy of Hamlet, a prequel, this March at Merrimack Repertory Theater. And you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This March of 2025, we'll return to the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts for the three-week Lort Theater premiere of the comedy of Hamlet, a prequel. And then this April and May of 2025, we're bringing an updated version of All the Great Books Abridged to Bristol, Tennessee, Harrisonburg, Virginia, Louisville, Kentucky, Elyria, Ohio, Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, and Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Check out the touring page at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Tyrone Phillips, whose lovely and funny production of James Imes' Fat Ham runs at Chicago's Goodman Theater through February 23rd, 2025.
There are some great actual Shakespearean lines, actual Shakespeare lines from Hamlet woven into the text. Again, there are some riffs on Shakespeare. There's one exchange, and I've never read the script, so I don't know where I'm remembering this correctly, but I think Tio asks Juicy, what's up?
Yes, it's Larry. What's good? What is good indeed? He says, yes, that's right.
That's it is. What is good indeed? That is 100% a to be or not to be moment.
That's right. That's right. Is right. And I think, again, the brilliance of James is that, you know, he doesn't just pull and lock in. It's certain very special moments and when Juicy has a need to speak to the audience. And I think, again, tying that directly to Shakespeare, right? That is when the aside happens or when the soliloquy happens, when something is happening for the character's life and it's just so big, they need to talk about it with somebody else. They have to work it out. And so I think it's brilliant in that in this way, you know, the need for why Juicy turns to the audience is also very clear.
I saw a preview performance just this past weekend and you open, I think, on Tuesday night.
Right.
How have the preview audiences been? And are you excited to get this thing up on its feet in front of people for real and get it open?
Oh, man, it already, strangely enough, feels like it is open. And I think it's different than usual for me. Usually you're fine-tuning all the way to the end. And we are doing that, in of course, in certain ways. But to say the play is pretty solid, right? We spent some time with it. The preview audiences have been a delight to watch. It's my favorite thing as a director to see, okay, what's hitting, what's landing. And that's actually the only reason why things change in the preview process, right? If the audience isn't getting something or a moment's not landing, we go back in and reinvestigate. Okay, maybe our choices are not leading us in the right direction or they're not clicking for some reason. So I'm proud to say that watching these audiences, the different demographics, first of all, because definition, we always bring a younger crowd. So they're in the room, but we also have the seasoned theater going, or if you will, in the room, and truly watching people hold their hearts and watching people hold the hand of the person next to them or nudge them and truly laugh out loud. It's been a beautiful thing, especially in this cold weather, to give a little bit of an injection of joy, which is something I'm learning is part of what I do.
You know, it's occurring to me as we talk that I've now seen two productions of yours where Fat Ham is a contemporary play that brings a 400-year-old play along with it. And yet in your production of Twelfth Night, you took a 400-year-old play and brought contemporary music into it in a way that did not feel foreign at all. It felt so of a piece. Is this a thing that you're always doing, or I just happen to see the two productions of yours that do this thing of mixing and matching the modern with the classic?
Yeah, you know, I think so. It is a special time in my life when that is the last show I produced, you know, directed as well. And so there is something about, again, how the past is speaking to our future and the future to our past that I always, you know, kind of stay centered in. It's part of the art, the work that I do, Definition, our mission, right? To make sure that we are bridging the gap. I mean, truly, you can't really know when you are pushing the needle forward in the sake of diversity or inclusion or equity, or if you don't know what's happened in the past and where each institution is at. And so I think it's imperative for us, and even as an artist, right? I talked to Chuck Smith. I talked to Ronald J. Parson, right? I talked to these artists who've been around for decades doing the thing I do to know, okay, how do we push the needle forward today? That's important to me. At the end of the day, anyone who sees this play, I hope by the end, you know, Shakespeare's quote comes from Polonius, who is Rabbi in our production, but this above all, to thine own self be true. That is what I want to echo through the hearts of our audiences.
And it's the one genuinely useful bit of Polonius's blather.
It's right. That's right. That's right. Of all the things, I'm like, thank God he said this above all.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. The Definition Theater co-production of James Imes's Fat Ham, directed by Definition's founding artistic director Tyrone Phillips, runs at Chicago's Goodman Theater through February 23rd, 2025. Go to goodmantheater.org for more information. Then send us your Shakespearean coming of any age via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. Or throw comments to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks as always to Huge Ham, Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Sean Frick. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to the newest member of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, Jeffrey Warren Barnes II, who played Sir Andrew Aguecheek in my production of Twelfth Night at Cincinnati Shakespeare Company in 2018, and who will be joining me and Doug Harvey in the comedy of Hamlet, a prequel, this March at Merrimack Rep in Lowell, Massachusetts. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 946 2838ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.